Mention, we are going to be in John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. So what I'd like us to do for a little bit tonight is put on sort of our first century garb, cloaks, sandals, robes, and try to get into the setting that we see here in John 9, sort of as best as we possibly can. So, this is Jerusalem, just outside Jerusalem. Jesus had recently been at the temple. Perhaps it was really hot out like it is right now, so maybe that will help us sort of feel this setting. But I really want us, to the best of our ability, to step into this situation with the dust and the fences and the paths that were worn from foot traffic and animal traffic. So let's get into this setting as best we possibly can. John 9, starting at verse 1, as if we are witnesses of this strange occurrence. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So we're here, remember, we're in this situation, and we recall, after hearing this question, that a common belief of the day was that a physical abnormality like blindness was the result of God punishing someone for their sin. In this case, it's either the parents or the child. Who was it that sinned? Tell us, teacher. Jesus responds, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So as we're watching this unfold, Jesus said that the man's blindness actually had nothing to do with sin. But it happened, Jesus said, so that the works of God could be displayed. So in this one response, as we reflect on what's taking place here, Jesus sort of deconstructs the common idea of blessing and cursing that was germane to that point in history. The question that the disciples asked was a question that others would have been asking as well. But Jesus says, no, there's something different going on here. This is being done so that the work of God can be displayed. It should be noted, I think, that this sort of thinking is still prevalent today in many religious circles. So let's sort of step out of the moment for a moment and just think for a little bit. I want to caution us to be very sensitive, careful, and calculated about sharing with others our belief that God is using some sort of situation, such as a medical issue, so that the words of God might be on display. Jesus certainly says that this is taking place so that the works of God can be on display. But here's my caution. Flippantly quoting a passage such as this one can backfire, especially in an emotionally loaded context when some sort of medical situation, for instance, is in play, cancer or heartache. So someone is in the middle of chemotherapy, to go to them and say, "This is happening to you so that the works of God can be in display," may not be the best thing to say to them in that moment. Please hear what I'm saying here. Verses 6 and 7. After saying this, he spit on the ground made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them. Told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent, John tells us. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So here we are in the moment, cloaks and all, and we see Jesus do this very, very strange thing, right? Spits on the ground, and with the water created from the spit and the dirt, he makes some mud, and he puts it in the blind man's eyes. What in the world is happening? Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. So understandably, right, people were intrigued by what just happened. Upon the man's return home, they thought, isn't this the man who is blind? By the way, blind since birth? But the blind man simply states to all of them, no, really, I'm the man. I can see you right now. I am the man. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. So where is this man? They asked. I don't know, he said. So the man didn't know where Jesus was, and that's okay. What he did know, stating the obvious here, is that at one point he couldn't see, and now he can see. This is pretty amazing. And as we witness this, we are thinking to ourselves, who is this Jesus? Someone that can do something like this. Apparently, some were thinking, did this really happen? Can this happen? Can a man who was born blind now see? And perhaps some of us, maybe those that are a little bit more introspective, are thinking, if Jesus has the ability to heal a man's blindness, maybe I should listen to him. So we're still observing now, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. More events taking place on the Sabbath, which is interesting. Apparently God, through Jesus, is trying to tell us something about the Sabbath. The Pharisees asked Jesus, asked how Jesus healed the man. And the man just simply told them. He rehashed the events, put mud in my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others ask, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. So we see the Pharisees divided. Some called into question Jesus' very identity because he broke the Sabbath. And we might think, did he really break the Sabbath? I mean, he spit. Is he really a Sabbath breaker? Is that so wrong? Sure, he reached over, I guess, and took the spit and made dirt out of it, but does that constitute work? And others simply ask, how can a sinner, a Sabbath breaker, do something like this? Certainly God can't be doing something like this through a sinner. The Pharisees are more concerned. And this is interesting. We need to note this because we've seen this action before, right? The Pharisees are more concerned about the mud than they are concerned about the guy's eyes. Right? We really, it's not the mud. We understand that. They're more concerned about the character, identity, and mission of Jesus than they are the mud. But it is kind of funny. Okay, tell us a little bit more about this mud. Did he work or did he not work? This is what they're getting at. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about it? About him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied this. He is a prophet. Now, make note of that. He says, he is a prophet. I believe that's a proclamation of faith. But this man is going to say more about Jesus later, which is even more powerful, I believe. Okay, 18 through 23. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. Some parents may not want to admit that someone is their son, but here, you know, we know he's our son, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. "Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. AKA, they were sort of kind of watching their own backs here, you know, protecting their own skin. Verse 23, "That was why his parents said, 'He is of age, ask him.'" So as we're watching this unfold with the parents now included in this event, the parents sort of fearfully wash their hands of the situation. They say, "Our son, he'll speak for himself. Talk to him." In other words, we don't want to get mixed up in this. Right? We don't want to get mixed up in this. We don't want to, we fear getting kicked out of the synagogue. It's just, this is, just leave us alone. Verses 24 through 27. "A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. 'Give glory to God by telling the truth,' they said. 'We know this man is a sinner.'" This man here is Jesus they're talking about. "He replied, 'Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.' Then they asked him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered, 'I have told you already, and you did not listen.'" Remember the whole mud thing? "Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" That is awesome right there. That's pretty clever, right? This guy has a sense of humor, right? Do you all want to be his disciples too? You want to know all about him? I'm sure that this rabbi would welcome you to come and be a disciple of his. So at this point, you can imagine that the Pharisees, sort of their internal temperature is rising, like, oh my goodness. Verse 28, "Then they hurled insults at him and said, 'You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, Jesus, we don't even know where he comes from.'" The Pharisees are pretty agitated. Temperature is rising even more. So the man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Brilliant response. This man, Jesus, is who he says he is. I'm living proof. My eyes, I can see. I can see you. 34, "To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out." So the blood in the Pharisees' veins is now boiling, right? 35, "Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' 'Who is he, sir?' the man asked. 'Tell me so that I may believe in him.' Jesus said, 'You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you.' Then the man said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshiped him. Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.' Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, 'What? Are we blind too?' Jesus said, 'If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.'" So as bystanders of all of this that's taking place here, to one level or another, I think we all have to get involved in this. Some of the Pharisees that overheard Jesus essentially are saying, are we blind? Do we see in each of us? We have to ask the question, am I blind? Or do I see? And if I see, what is it that I see? Is it Jesus in front of me that I see? Do I see Jesus leading me on his path in his way? Do I see Jesus helping me to see others as he sees people? If I'm blind, what can be done about my condition? Can the same Jesus who healed the blind man give me sight too? So on countless occasions, right, all of us likely here have sang that song, Amazing Grace, right? I can think back to the church I grew up going to and singing that song. One of the lines, I was blind, but now I see. That's amazing grace. And we thank God for that, that all of us have, or at least hopefully, we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, giving us eyes to see. And for some of us here today, we might need Jesus to spit in the ground and to make some mud and to put it in our eyes again. Because of, for whatever reason, maybe we become blind again. And so we need some mud in our eyes, and we pray, renew our sight, dear Lord. Well, there goes my voice again. So we're going to be done. If there's anybody here, you know the drill. If anybody here needs prayers or is desires to be baptized on whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship.